Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Karabu. Karabu Chachau. Is that, that if have I pronounced your surname right? Please tell me. Chachau.
Yes, Chachau is excellent.
Oh, wonderful. And Karabu is a member of the Free State Provincial Legislature. And Karabu is driving, so I know we may have a dip in the signal or something. But firstly, thank you so, so much for making time to chat to us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an absolute pleasure for me to be here. I do think what is happening in Zakhasfontein deserves as many conversations as possible, given the disaster that it is. It is pretty tragic, and we need to have as many people speaking our truth about what exactly happened there as possible.
Absolutely. Perhaps, I mean, it's obviously news breaking. Everyone is aware, but perhaps some of our listeners are not too sure. Perhaps just take us through the collapse of the dam wall, you know, essentially what has transpired.
Yeah. So, why is the collapse of the dam?
Oh, Karabu, I think the signal is we are losing you.
Can you not hear me now?
No, we can now. Yeah. As I say, let's carry on.
Yes, I'm saying, so anybody who has seen the images of what the dam looked like before it collapsed, and that was a primary concern of members of the community.
Oh, no, Karabu, I think we'll try and reconnect, and let's see if we can get a better connection. Please just bear with us. Karabu is driving, and obviously we know that signal strength is a problem. And what we're doing is we're just getting a bit more insight and an update into what has happened at the dam wall. It collapsed and at Jachisfontein, and we've had a number of people. We had 28 people that have been injured. We've had 4 people that are in critical condition and 3 deaths so far. So we're just trying to get a bit more insight into the dam. I want to find out who's accountable. I want to know what's happening with the survivors, how we can provide assistance. So we are back with Karabu. Karabu, hi. Glad to have you back with us. No, it's a... Karabu, no, I don't think that we're going to be able to do it. We'll try one last time because it's such an important discussion, this. And I'm just going to ask Craig to head to an advert in the interim. And, yeah, it looks like we are going to be able to reconnect. And, Karabu, are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh, I've stopped in the middle of the road. Hopefully life is better now.
Okay, please, as long as it's a safe place to stop, and that's all. And,
I'm not alone, luckily.
Yeah, just please take care. Yes, so sorry, please carry on with what happened.
So yeah, so the primary concern that members of the community had was the proximity of the dam to their homes. They had been asking questions of what happens should this dam collapse. And part of the chief activist championing this issue was the current mayor of the Kopanoloko municipality, who had then, before he got a seat that was comfortable enough for him to stop championing human rights, had already alerted community authorities, the local government and the provincial government, of the risks of that dam and how it's positioned. The call was to ensure that people are moved away from the dam to homes that are safe, or to find another way altogether to have the infrastructure non-compromising to people's lives. So this risk was imminent. It was there. Everybody saw it. Everybody knew that this risk was there. But the second problem that we have as the Democratic Alliance is that the province doesn't have a disaster management center. This is something that, if it existed in the province, there would have been enough data collection and surveillance to ensure that the risk is assessed timely and that there are precautionary measures placed to ensure that people don't lose their lives as they've done now, that people's homes aren't washed away and people's families aren't dismantled altogether, that people's livestock and their crop is not there. So we refuse, as the Democratic Alliance, to hear any reason from any government authority that says that it is not their fault that people are dead, that they didn't know that people are going to die. They did. They were silent. They chose to be negligent. And this is something that we continue to see across communities that are poor. Because a town as small as Jachisfontein has been neglected for years. the same town rests within a municipality that's responsible for 8 other towns such as that one that has for years been experiencing water problems. Which is why the Democratic Alliance this morning, we marched to the provincial government offices to demand that there be access to water. That municipality is barely functioning. It owes its bulk water supplier over 400 million rands in debt for water. And as a result, people were living without water. So the people of Jagersfontein are living within an economy that is poor. They're unemployed, unable to barely put food on the table. On top of that, they're living within a community where having water for them was a dream and a luxury, a drop of water on their taps. And now today, some of them do not have their homes anymore.
This is so, so sad. And the Jagersfontein Development Company, what I'm reading mm-hmm. here, they bought the mine from De Beers, yes. apparently quite a few years ago, more than what, it was over 10 years ago. So if they own that, it's an unused mine, whatever. So who actually bears responsibility now for these people, for the injuries, for what's happened?
Just a quick tweak on the history. The mine was before the Jagersfontein PTI, Developments PTI LTD bought the mine, it was first bought from De Beers to Supercolong in 2010. And then only in 2012 that it was bought by the developments altogether. And that development started a community trust, the Itumeleng Community Trust, that was done through the development there to ensure that there are people who are members of the community that form part of that mine. So the responsibility is for everybody. One, the infrastructure of a mine's safety is the responsibility of the mine itself. They're supposed to make sure that the infrastructure isn't compromising to the community within which they mine. They failed to ensure that. The second responsibility lies in the hands of the local government there, the Kopanang local municipality, because it has the first primary, they're the first port of protection for the community there. And then the third stakeholder here that also needs to be taken, that needs to take responsibility for this is the provincial government, because it's supposed to monitor the state of any disaster and manage any disaster within the province. They failed to do so, and that's why people are dead. And the last stakeholder that's also responsible here is the Department of Mineral Resources. We know that Minister Gwete Mantashe has effectively absolved himself from this responsibility. But this is wrong, because there are regular checks that are supposed to be done on these mines to ensure safety, which wasn't the case.
It's shocking. It's terrible. And what's happening now on the ground with the survivors? How are they getting assistance? What's actually happening there?
It's bad, truly, because I'm on the road because I'm going back to Bloemfontein now. The president, just before I left, had just arrived. But everybody is populated in an area away from where the actual disaster is. I had an engagement with young people there, my peers within the community, who say that they haven't seen people much. Everybody just comes and takes a photo and leaves and go have a conversation somewhere else. That there are members of the community who still want answers, and some are still living in fear. They're very traumatized. They didn't even sleep properly because they were scared that what if, because there are sections of the wall that are still standing. What if those two collapse? What's going to happen to their homes altogether? Everybody is living in fear. Everybody is panicking. There is no answer. And because there's no electricity, people are even unable to cook and put food on the table for themselves. And the distribution of aid is nowhere to be seen. We saw that, yes, there are food there, there's food there, there's water there, but there's not a widespread distribution of aid. It's a case of first come, first served basis, which is wrong because everybody has been affected. But what we're calling on as the Democratic Alliance is to have as many members of civil society as possible donating and being present to ensure that we provide aid to the community. But not just for now, when the story is still a hot topic for everybody, but even post this, for weeks to come, we need to ensure that this community is safe, that women and are able to put food on the table for their children, and that families are taken care of. But what we also call upon is for the provincial government to ensure that there are homes restored to members of the family of families that have lost their homes, and that's something that must be done urgently. And while they do so, they have to have a proper inspection of the conditions of the town itself, because currently the toxins have been spilled all over the town. Nobody really knows the extent of the hazard to those towns. they're drying up there, and these are toxins that come from a mine. Toxins that are, in most cases, associated with skin irritations, with liver problems, and impact on a person's nervous system altogether. So there's really poor management. There is no leadership. I haven't seen leadership on the side of government there. The most people that have been there to try to help and give as much aid as possible are people like Gift of the Givers and all. But there is no leadership. And we understand why the leadership is not there, because it's embarrassed. Because they understand that it is their fault that nobody was able to be responsive to this before we could even collapse.
And Karaba, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there, for our listeners, is there a site anywhere if anybody wants to try and contribute or has got means to assist? Is there somewhere they can go or contact?
There is still very much not a lot of information regarding where people can, but I am giving out my contact number. It is
060-753-753.
6522. Yes, I'm more than happy to receive calls regarding donations.
Thank you so much. And Karaba, thank you for that insight. And we really feel for these survivors. Terrible situation. And let's see if some of our community can step up to this and assist. Karaba Gagao, member of the Free State Provincial Legislature, thank you so much for giving us more insight, and please just stay safe.